climate change, energy transition, public health emergencies. Today, we are facing major transitions and challenges, which makes futuring not just all the more vital, but also creates a need to make it more inclusive and involve the general population. In this episode of Future Talks, Oscar Tomiko, MDEF co-director, is talking to Scott Smith, futurist and founder and managing partner of Changest. In the last decade, futuring has undergone a big transition. Scott talks about how futurism has developed and where it stands today, why designers play a key role in futuring, and what the future of futuring will look like. Scott Smith has been working in futures for more than 15 years, and in 2007, he founded Changest, a multidisciplinary consulting and research group engaging a wide-ranging spectrum of activities concerning the future. Changest works with organizations and companies globally, guiding them through possible futures by blending research, sense-making, engagement, and strategy. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hello world, my name is Oscar Tomiko. I'm co-director of the Design for Emerging Futures Master Program. I'm head of the Design Engineering Program at Elizava. And today we are with Scott Smith. Hi Scott.
Hi Oscar.
Scott works at the company, well, it's your company actually, Changest, mm-hmm. which is not just you, it's a group of people. And you've been exploring what it means to do future making and futuring for quite a lot of years. Mm-hmm. Actually, you just finished a presentation with all of our students, right?
Right.
So I just have a few questions that I'm going to ask you, so if you're okay with it. And the first one is, so what's going on with futuring these days?
So futuring, at least from our perspective, as a group that's been involved for 15 years or more, is really undergoing quite a transition. There have been sort of waves of development starting in the 1950s and 60s and then through the 70s, 80s. Each generation has kind of brought its own methodology and tools. But really in the past decade, you've started to see a real kind of opening and democratization of futures as a field, but also as a practice. So it's really kind of broken the boundaries of being a professional field and become more yet another kind of tool that people can apply to try to tackle difficult questions and major challenges in the long term. And design has become a really interesting part of that for us as a kind of piece of the toolkit.
Do you think that it's more necessary now than before?
Each generation would probably say that the future that futuring was super necessary for their time period. Again, in the 1970s, dealing with ecology and population, each one has its challenges, but we're facing some enormous transitions. So energy transition from petroleum to renewable resources, health transition, dealing with massive issues like obesity around the world, climate change, the most kind of enormous challenge of our time, a hyper object, as Timothy Morton calls it, education, business, mobility. All of these sectors are undergoing a huge change, but we have to think really long term and systemically about how to best kind of affect that change and to help it come into the world.
Yeah, it seems like a perfect storm for futures.
In some ways, it's a really great time for futures, but also it's not about kind of more business for us as much as it is, I think, about taking those tools out to a much wider audience and engaging everybody. Not just futurists, designers, professionals, but trying to kind of reawaken the critical thinking and awareness and long-term thinking of just individuals, people, groups, societies, organizations to play a part in all of those transitions. Hmm.
And what specifically about designers? What makes them interesting or special in this kind of process? And I would say more specifically, so how making or the action of making and design action in general can be key for a scenario mm-hmm. creation and futuring.
So if I hand you a report, a printed paper report with lots of bullet points and footnotes, you might read it. It's abstract to you. It's research someone else did and you may put it away, throw it off the building, whatever. But if I can illustrate an idea about the future to you in a material way that you can touch and feel and engage with and ask questions about and think about the usability and desirability of, you've broken into another dimension, not just the intellectual, but the sort of the emotional, the social, the kinesthetic. So materializing futures through artifacts and design help make them real for more broader populations to engage with them. And it's yet another kind of problem-solving tool for us.
Yeah, in the MDF Master Program, we talk about design interventions, mm-hmm. because the idea of like the object that we are making, it's not per se the one that will populate the future, but it's more like an object that creates, as you said, more questions, mm-hmm. that discusses. How does this work for you? How do you think this happens in your practice?
It's, for us, it's been a really, really useful kind of addition or tool, not just because of the object itself or an experience or some kind of immersion. That's often not the end point, but sort of the midpoint to ask those questions. But also the kind of the tools that design can provide in terms of social inquiry, understanding complex systems, its sort of complexity and systems change. All of those things kind of get enhanced through bringing a design lens into the conversation, not as the only sort of means, but as a kind of complement or a boost to thinking about the future and acting on it.
Cool. And now that you're talking about complementing design action, who else do you think should be in this team?
We really need everybody in. I think, you know, designers need to be able to work with policymakers. They need to be able to work with citizens. We see more and more kind of community engagement at the beginning of projects rather than delivering a product in a store or a policy or an experience later on. And I think, you know, being able to kind of open up processes that allow in the people who will live in that future, the people who will either benefit or, you know, might be harmed by a particular future, can play an important role in that. So I think designers need to be thinking about all of the actors in the system and how they can help create a conversation amongst all those actors to determine a better future.
Sometimes people look at designers as if they try to play God, or they think they know everything. Mm-hmm. For example, also in our master program, we ask them to involve themselves personally in the process, a way of breaking all these preconceptions, but also being at the same level as the mm-hmm. rest. For you, like, how much should we involve ourselves in the process, and how much are we responsible from what we do?
I mean, I think, you know, you as a designer and myself as a sort of futurist, if we call it that, we have a responsibility to sort of bring a baseline of ethics and of open inquiry, of safety to these explorations. We also probably have a responsibility to bring all sides of a question, not necessarily to equate them, but to spread as much of the information and inputs on the table as we can to then make a decision from it. It's tough sometimes to keep your own choice out of the equation. I think it's important to be a good open guide to others to make those choices rather than imposing our choice on them.
Yeah, but in a way, I think that it's also important that you experience the implications of the future you're trying to create yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, technologists have a term called dog fooding, right? You know, it's the idea that you use your own product and experience it. That aspect of it, I think, is really critical. Being able to understand the initial flaws, the assumptions that may have been wrong, all of those sorts of issues, things like usability, and bringing in people with very different backgrounds and experiences so that it's not just your set of values you're injecting into that, but you're asking someone else, does this work for you? Mm-hmm. You know, we see this, you know, women, for example, designed out of products around the world every day because we were only looking at a standard user, whatever that is. We need to be thinking that way about the future as well and understanding not just how the principal designer driving a project can experience that future, but how many different kinds of people can experience it as well.
And then one last question and we finish. What's the future of futuring?
Wow, the future of futuring, I think, is much more, looks less like a field and more like a kind of enhancement or lens to many other disciplines. There are actually a lot of new young futurists and sort of design futurists, which didn't exist before, being trained and educated today. And the great thing is they look very different than we have in the past. So the part of that future is going to be much more diverse, much wider perspective, much more multidisciplinary, I think, and hopefully enabling a lot of other changes to happen.
Cool. Scott, thank you very much for your time. And thank you all of you to listen. See you soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. Future Talks is a series of conversations with friends of FabLab Barcelona, exploring the nature of emerging futures from the past to the present and beyond. This episode was recorded at IAC. Special thanks to the team of MDEF and our partner, Elisava School of Design and Engineering.